photographic proof that there have been men on the moon, most specifically Apollo 11 did happen, or photographic evidence that it's all a hoax. We'll bring back our two guests coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Ponet. All right, so just as it developed organically, you heard it last hour on Coast to Coast. If you didn't, go back and grab it on Streamlink. We were talking with Bart Sabrell, who's the documentarian behind A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. You can link up to him through coasttocoastam.com. And then Kevin called from Ontario. And Kevin, I understand you have a website too?
I do have a website, yes.
And your website is?
TheHomeGalaxy.com.
And why did you put up a website? What is it dedicated to?
It's dedicated a lot to photography of the Earth from space and celestial imagery as well. I also did an international best-selling book and a New York Times best-selling book called The Home Planet. And that's photographs of the Earth from space and quotes from astronauts and cosmonauts about what it means to be human to go into space. And there's a section in that book called Going to the Moon. And that project, I ended up looking at every handheld image taken by astronauts, looking out the window and some in the window, starting with the first Mercury flight through 1999. It included not only the Apollo 11 that your guest Bart has looked at only, but of all the other Apollo flights as well. And I've all those images are in reels. They're in Hasselblad reels that are put together in 100 and 200-foot reels. And you see image after image after image taken in sequence. And I can tell you that we went to the moon. I talked to a cosmonaut who was working with me on that book, and we were on the steps of Mount Parnes one night. And he was talking about how they had set up a ship. They were racing the Americans. And their last test went around the moon. It came back. Everything went perfect. And then just coming down, the explosion bolts that were supposed to do something instead blew off the parachute. And the ship came down and landed on the Earth without a parachute. And they had to sit there and debate about whether they were going to just go the next time. Leonov and Makarov were going to go to the moon, and they decided they better do another test first. In the meantime, the Americans beat them there. Now, why would the cosmonauts be going to the moon if you couldn't do it? And I don't think you're BSing me.
All right. Well, hang on. Now, let's talk about the photographic evidence. And you had kind of started to go down a road with Bart Sabrell, who, again, you can link up to through coasttocoastam.com. You can take a look at his work and grab a copy of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. He says, and Bart, you can. Why don't you ask the questions of Kevin, or Kevin, you ask the question of Bart, because you guys are both a lot smarter than I'll ever be on this subject.
Well, I'd like to say that it's interesting that the Soviets launched the first animal, the first satellite, the first man, the first woman, the first spacecraft, spacewalk, the first two spacecraft simultaneously, that for every 100 hours the U.S. spent in space, they spent 500 hours. So some organization that is five times more advanced than the United States never was able to send a man to the moon. I would wonder if Kevin was a fan of the space program before he looked at the pictures and whether that has tainted his view. And I've seen your coffee table book, and it's beautiful. But I would also ask if you had seen my movie that contains footage of Apollo 11 faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. Have you seen that?
I've seen it.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I've seen it.
So what do you think of that footage of them faking being halfway to the moon with the arm going in front of the Earth and the little crescent piece of the Terminator line going in front of the window?
I don't buy it.
Why not?
Yeah, what do you think of the 16-millimeter footage? Have you looked at the 16-millimeter footage of that was taken by the astronauts?
You're talking about of the lunar orbit outside the command module window?
All the 16-foot.
Well, if you go to the website and you get the DVD called Monkey Business, we have lunar orbit going by at allegedly 8,000 miles per hour, and then it stops on a dime, then the camera adjusts, then it starts back up again at 8,000 miles an hour. And I'd like to know how that is possible.
I don't know how you end up with those imagery.
Because we have a source at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. Now, we also have footage of the original slate before this lunar orbit. And it's dated 5 days before they left. Now, I'd like to know how they've got lunar orbit photography from Apollo 11 5 days before they even left to go to the moon. It also says test on the original slate. Now, I'm in the film business, and what that means is that's a special effects shot. And you keep doing test after test after test until you get it satisfactory, and the last test is the one that you use.
When you look at all the photographs that were taken on the way to the moon, frame after frame, inside the spacecraft, outside the spacecraft, you see pictures. The first pictures taken of the Earth from space were taken. They didn't have a viewfinder in that camera. They had to stick it out the window. They had to stick it out the window and try and aim and try and get it. There's air to ground to match that, and you see that you see frame after frame, some inside, some outside, some pictures of the moon, and some pictures of the Earth. They're all consecutive. I've looked at the pictures of when they're walking on the moon, frame by frame, advancing to rocks, going behind the rocks, looking at the horizon. Those landscapes aren't faked. You can't fake those landscapes.
Well, who said they're fake? Maybe they're out in the desert at night. The fact is that
there is no desert. There is no desert.
Well, you know, they
can't. I got to jump in here for a second. Bart, you said they were faked in the video. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. In fact, you even point to a rock that you say was very likely paper mache.
I'm saying in Apollo 11, they used fake landscapes, and possibly in the later missions, which I have seen some of, they possibly used real landscapes. The fact is, you can fake a Monet and fool an expert about it. It's time and time again, it's gone to court and been haggled over.
Okay.
You know, if I was going to trust someone's opinion as to the person who developed the film or the person who built the camera, I would trust the guy who built the camera. Now, the guy who built the camera said on national TV in the Fox special, Conspiracy Theory, Did We Land on the Moon, the pictures do not look like they were taken by sunlight. That's a fact. The pictures are allegedly going from minus 250 degrees of Fahrenheit in the shade to plus 250 degrees in the sunlight. Now, when I take film from my hotel room and go outside that's 30 degrees different, it fogs up. So why isn't it fogging up when there's a 500-degree difference? And other things,
right.
Hold on, Bart.
I'd like to have Kevin answer that. Go ahead, Kevin.
There's a real easy answer to that. There's no moisture on the moon.
Really? If there's no moisture on the moon, then how come you can see a footprint perfectly? Because when you step in the desert where there's no moisture on the sand, all you see is a circle. But in the photographs of the footprint on the moon, you see an absolute impression of the footprint indicating that there is moisture in that soil, which means they're not on the moon.
You don't have see. This is the problem. This is the problem with this kind of investigation and your in quote common sense. If you were to take flour. And
flour has moisture in it because I'm
the same argument. Wait. Let him finish. Go ahead, Kevin.
Very, very fine powdered substance, and you step on it with no moisture in it at all. It's going to make a footprint.
Flour has moisture in it. You can feel it when you put your hand.
Of course, flour has moisture in it on Earth. But you know, you can take other substances that don't have moisture in them, and you can still make a footprint. I mean, this is
like what? Give me an example.
This is the problem with this kind of.
Well, just give me an example.
Wait, hold on. The one thing I can't have you guys talking over each other. So finish, Kevin, and then go ahead, Bart. But finish up, Kevin.
You can take fine rock dust and do it.
Yeah, but you're doing that on Earth where there's moisture everywhere. The moon has never had moisture on it except for the North South Pole. You see, that's like trying to create a vacuum. I've never been in a vacuum, have you? And I've never been on any place on Earth that doesn't have moisture in it, except the desert and the sand.
I'm not going to bog down with you in arguments about flour and dust and moisture. You used an argument about moisture in a camera, and I told you how that wouldn't work, how it would never happen because we're in a vacuum, and then you start on this other area. I will tell you this. I'll talk about the things that I do know, all right? I talked to Jim Irwin, who is one of the most inordinate Christian human beings I've ever met. That man was on the moon. That man does not lie.
Really? Interesting.
I'm not.
Wait. Bart, let him finish.
I talked to Jim Irwin. I've talked to Edgar Mitchell. Edgar Mitchell had an epiphany on the way back from the moon. I suppose Edgar Mitchell faked his epiphany, and he's built his whole life on a fake epiphany.
Well, apparently he has, because here's what I know about James Irwin. Before I hit the scene, Bill Kasing was the number one spearhead of the truth coming out. He was one of the first guests on Oprah. James Irwin had a born-again experience, And when he had a born-again experience, he called up Bill Casey and he wrote the book, We Never Really Went to the Moon. He told him he'd become a born-again Christian. He said, we need to talk. He said, call me at this number 3 days from now. And on that day, James Irwin had a fatal heart attack. That's what I know about James Irwin.
I talked to him in his office for about an hour.
You think he's going to tell you that the moon landings are fake when he hasn't told his wife and his children? Who are you?
Well, I'm not sure I accept that logic, because what you're saying is the assumption is that it's fake. If it's true, then he told his wife.
If there's anything assumed, it's assumed that it's real. That's the assumption that's fooling everybody.
Well, good. Well, no, wait. If it's true, then he told his wife that it was true, and he told Kevin that it was true.
Well, you don't
right?
tell, if the moon landing is fake, you don't tell your wife, you don't tell your priest, you don't tell your children, because your life is in danger and their lives would be in danger. You don't tell anybody. So I don't know why you tell some random photographer crossing your path that the moon landings are fake. Neil Armstrong and anyone similar to that has not told me that I can speak of.
People who have true religious experiences like Irwin did.
Yeah, he did. He had a true religion experience, and he called up Bill Casey and said, we need to talk. He wanted to clear his conscience, and the day they were supposed to talk, he had a fatal heart attack.
Wait. Do you know he wanted to clear his conscience, or do you want to tell him off? He wanted to explain how he was wrong.
How do you know he's going to clear his conscience? He was supposed to talk to the guy who wrote a book about the fake moon landings. That's all I know.
Okay.
You know, another coincidence among millions, I guess.
You know, I'd like to say a couple other things here. I don't want to have an argument about things that I know nothing about, and I don't know anything about that, and I don't believe it. All right? I talked to Irwin at length. He was one of the most religious human beings I've ever met, and he talked with the deepest levels of reverence and believability about his experience on the moon. You meet a lot of people. Some people you believe, some people you don't. I'm a pretty skeptical person, as you.
I'm going to ask you about a photographic thing, because, Kevin, you say you developed the photographs. Explain the shadows.
I developed the Lunar Orbiter 1 photos.
Okay.
Okay. I looked at all the handheld imagery taken of the Earth from space, and most of them from all the Apollo flights on the moon.
All right, what about the shadow argument that Bart Sabrell makes in his video, which, again, you can find if you go to coasttocoastam.com? The idea that the non-parallel shadows, where the shadows, Bart says, are indicative of having an artificial electrical light source. What do you say to that, Kevin?
I don't have an answer to that. You'll find answers on the web, but I can tell you that there are zillions and zillions of other photographs that you can look at there where those kind of apparent anomalies aren't an issue. And I'll tell you why there are no pictures of Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Why is that?
Your guest is right. It's absolutely unbelievable. There's a very, very simple answer.
Because he was taking the pictures, but don't you think a backup camera would be appropriate? I think so. If you're going to the moon for the first time, you might drop it or something.
I'll tell you why there aren't any pictures of Neil Armstrong on the moon. Because the man who was the second man to step on the moon, who wasn't going to be famous because he wasn't the first guy to step off on the moon, decided that there were only going to be pictures of the second man on the moon.
So he's humble, and that's why he decided as the commander to go first.
No one took pictures of Neil Armstrong.
Well, why not?
There's only one. Why not?
You have his story, the greatest event in human history, the first man to walk on the moon. I think the public would love to have a picture of that.
They would.
Neil Armstrong's wife would want to have a picture of it.
His son would want to have a picture of that.
So why isn't there one? It seems kind of odd to me. I think the guy did not want the liability and was ashamed. That's why he doesn't give interviews, because he doesn't like to lie.
Wait a second. See, I got to stop again, and we'll just leave it here. And actually, we probably won't get any further than what we got. But I think we've reached kind of an impasse. But again, you said he doesn't give interviews. And yet, when he gave an interview to 60 Minutes, you dismissed it, Bart, as saying, oh, he was just talking a book. So when you say he doesn't give interviews, he does. And when he says he doesn't speak about the moon, he does. But when he does, you say, oh, he's just talking a book. Well, so that's where you lose me on that, because you make a declarative statement that it's proof that he has a guilty conscience that he won't give interviews.
I'm not saying, but when he gives... I'm saying it's an odd thing that the guy has made three comments in 40 years about the moon landing, once to hawk a book, once on the 25th anniversary, and once at the original press conference. To me, that's kind of odd.
All right. Well, draw your conclusions as you will. Thank you, Kevin, for trying to present your side of that. And Bart, thank you for coming back and giving us a little bit more time on that. And we'll just let it go for there. The rest we'll leave up to your critical thinking skills to decide whether or not we made it to the moon. And whether or not you can get through the Van Allen radiation belt, which the more I look into it, the more every scientific source says it's just not that hard. But go take a look online, make a decision for yourself, pick up a copy of that DVD from Bart Sobrell, and the rest we'll leave up to you in a further conversation, I'm sure, that'll be coming on Coast to Coast. All right, so open lines then for the rest of the night. I would prefer we not go back to the moon story. I would prefer, I think we've said everything there is that can possibly be said about it tonight. I would prefer we explore, you know, brave new worlds, search out new life forms and civilizations, to boldly go where no show has gone before. I'd like to do that next. Sorry for people who are hanging on who want to comment on the moon. But if you want to get back to the executive assassination ring, too, we haven't had a chance to take any calls on that. Or where do you want to take us next? On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Well, call it an executive decision. I just felt like we'd said everything that could possibly be said about the moon story and whether or not it's real or not. Leave the rest up to you and just decide to go off in a different direction here. So let's hope open lines will follow.